sir.
Spoke for us this morning. There are several of you who do not know him. He's a member here at the Clinton Church. He is dear to our soul. And he fought an incredible cancer with leukemia, the most intense form of it last year. And the Lord drove it through the aid of modern medicine into remission. And we all rejoiced and we're so glad as he triumphed over it. And a couple of weeks ago, Brother Mark found out that the leukemia has come out of remission. And it's a very bad time for him now. And so we, as we say this morning, want to cover him with our prayers. You know, it's one thing to preach what he preached this morning when everything's going well and the sun's shining. But to hear a man stand and testify to the goodness and the mercy of God when he's in the middle of the furnace is a whole other thing. This morning, when he woke up, he couldn't walk. He couldn't walk. And not only had he come here this morning, but God has blessed him, as David said, to walk about Zion, to tell the towers of our great city, to talk about the strength of the kingdom of God and its great king. What a wonderful, wonderful God we serve, and how thankful we are for his sweet message.
We'll turn to Psalm 42, and Brother Mark's preaching this morning. He's changed my mind about what I was going to speak on, and there's nothing that I can add that Brother Mark hasn't already spoken about. I give a hearty amen to those wonderful truths and wonderful words of encouragement, and so instead of adding to the message, I'll just ride your coattails a little bit this morning, Brother Mark. But I want to look at a few verses in Psalm 42 and continue along the thoughts that our dear brother has presented this morning, because they are extremely relevant to the times that we're living in and extremely relevant to those of us that have trials, those of us that have difficulties, those of us that are going through affliction. Verse 5 of Psalm 42, the psalmist writes, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Psalmist says in verse 6, "O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar." Then in verse 11, the psalmist ends this writing by saying, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." I remember reading a book probably about 10 years ago that was titled The Shack. This book is notorious, if you will, amongst religious circles because of the content of that book. Now, it's a fictional book. If you go home and read that book, I don't endorse everything that's written in that book. But the book was really attacked by a lot of folks from the Christian establishment. Basically, the account of the story is a man has he suffers an unimaginable tragedy in his life, and in his efforts to seek clarity, seek meaning, he escapes from the everyday affairs of life, and in his escape, he meets with God in this fictional story. And the whole story, you may remember it from about 10 years ago, it was attacked by many folks in established Christian religions. It seemed that there were people that spoke out against it from all of the major religions that you can think of. Now again, don't go home and say, "Well, Brother Michael's endorsed everything about this story." But the reason it got on the radar of so many religious institutions was that it challenged people's notions of who God is. And that's what really got people's hackles raised. It challenged people's
people's ideas of who God is. Well, you ask the question, how do most people view God? Well, I'm going to say based off the history of our country and based off of misinterpretation of Scripture, there are a lot of people who have this picture of God as the heavy-handed father ready to drop the hammer down on his children. And that book received so much criticism because it portrayed God in a different frame of reference than what many people think. But there are a lot of people today that are missing out on great comfort, that are paralyzed in their service to God because the picture that they have conceptualized in their own minds is that of a dictatorial father ready to lay the hammer down on his children. And that's been the idea of many of our forefathers in this country. I'm thankful for many of the contributions that our Puritan forefathers have contributed to our nation. There are many wonderful writers from a Puritan background, many studied men. But one of the ideas that was predominant in their worldview was that God was a heavy-handed father just ready to smite his children. But what we see here from the Word of God is that our God is indeed a God of all power. We read from Scripture that our God is a God of justice. We read that our God is a jealous God. But I'm thankful that the Word of God teaches us that He's also a God of comfort, a God of encouragement, and a God of consolation. Now, that doesn't make God weak, but that makes God one who sees the weakness of His children, and according to His sovereign will, according to His good pleasure, He extends mercy unto them. Now, again, in Psalm 42, we see here the psalmist asks the question, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" The world would have a lot of answers to that if you went out and took a survey. Why am I in the depths of despair? Why am I suffering the trials that I'm going through? Remember, that was one of the themes in the book of Job. His friends came and they were quiet for a while, and they did very well while they were quiet. Yeah. But when they started opening their mouths, they had all sorts of explanations as to why Job was going through what he was going through. Well, you must have done something wrong, Job. You've brought this upon yourself. You've done something to incur the wrath of God. But what do we see? Well, we see, as the brother preached so ably this morning, that God had not changed. God had not gone anywhere. And what you see as you conclude the book of Job was that God blessed in the end. God was merciful. God was kind unto Job. You go to the world today and you say, well, I'm going through this difficulty. You know, we've heard the brother and his physical sickness. Well, the world will have a lot of reasons. You know, they'll say, well, what did you do to deserve that? You must not have done something that you should have done. You ate the wrong foods. You ate too much of food. You exposed yourself to the wrong elements in the world. My friends, we need to understand that the root cause of sin, trials, tribulation, difficulties in this world is because it's a sin-cursed earth. But we serve a sovereign God of mercy. We serve a God, the Bible calls our Lord, a God of consolation that blesses us in the midst of trials. So that's why the psalmist, and we understand the psalmist David, he suffered great trials. And I want to say this, and I want to be careful how I say it, but I want to say that our God is merciful to us when we are at fault for what we are going through. You know, there are things that we suffer here in this world that have nothing to do with any way that we've acted, any way that we've conducted ourselves. But I tell you, in my life, there's plenty of times I've gotten myself in trouble because of choices that I've made, but God has been merciful in spite of that. And David understood that God was a God of mercy. Our God was a God of consolation. Now, are there consequences when we disobey God and His commands? Yes. But David shows us here that God is not the dictatorial, dominating father ready to put the switch on his children for everything that goes wrong in their lives. He's a father of mercy. So that's why David says here, and he exclaims here, and he asks the question, he says, why art thou cast down my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Here's the wonderful blessing that the psalmist was referring to, that in sickness, in health, in afflictions, in trials, as we suffer from the poor decisions of others, as we suffer because of our own decisions, God remains true. God remains true to His nature, and He's a God of consolation. In Romans chapter 15, the Apostle Paul, as he ends his letter to the church at Rome, what does he encourage them in? Well, let's turn there real quick. In Romans chapter 15... what was he trying to encourage? He was trying to encourage God's people to what? To be merciful towards one another. He starts out Romans chapter 15 by saying, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak." Amen. Aren't you thankful that's the God that we serve?
Yes.
You know, there's religions in the world today that believe that God tells them that they need to stomp out and literally eradicate everyone that does not believe like they believe. That's a terrible perception of God, isn't it? But Paul writes by the inspiration of God. He says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak." Well, why is that? Verse 2, "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification." Notice here, "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on thee." And he says, "Now whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Now verse 5, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus." Why is that? That you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you see what Paul's desire, what Paul's prayer was? He prayed that the God of patience and consolation grant them to be like-minded. Here's what happens when people have the idea of God being heavy-handed, or God is telling them to annihilate everyone that doesn't look like them, doesn't believe like them. What they've done is they've conceived their own God in their own minds.
Yeah.
But here we see our God is a God of patience and consolation. That was the God that the psalmist took hope in. That was the God that the psalmist was able to trust in and hope in the depths of despair. So Paul says here that our God is a God of consolation. We also see here that the Word of God is replete with words of encouragement. And consolation and encouragement, those words are synonymous with one another. You could read this here now, "The God of patience and encouragement grant you to be like-minded." But we also see here that the Scriptures, the Word of God, not only is God Himself a God of comfort and consolation, a God of encouragement, He's given us His Word that we can receive comfort and encouragement from. Verse 4, now remember what Paul said in verse 4. "Now whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." It doesn't say here that what was written aforetime was written for us to beat somebody else over the head with.
Right.
But it's written for our comfort and our consolation. You know, the Holy Spirit is referred to as what? The Comforter. John chapter 14, as we see Christ is getting ready to depart from the world. He's getting ready to lay down His life for the sins of the people. In John chapter 14, Jesus is relaying this to His disciples, but He says that the Comforter is going to come. He says, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things." He goes on and says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." Notice, "not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Our God is a God of comfort and consolation. God has given us His inspired Word, which gives us comfort and consolation. The Spirit of God is referred to as the Comforter. Isn't that beautiful? You know, that's what we should desire as God's people. The comfort that surpasses the philosophies and ideologies and what the world thinks about God. The comfort that comes from the one true and living God. I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We mentioned this on Wednesday night several months ago now. But not only is God the Father a God of comfort and consolation, not only is God the Holy Ghost the Comforter, not only is the written Word of God given for comfort and instruction, Jesus Christ Himself, one of His titles is that of comfort. You know, Paul, we've noted several times all of the difficulties and trials that Paul went through. And those that were bringing false accusations against the Apostle Paul as he penned this second letter to the church at Corinth, one of the accusations that they made is that there's no way this man can be sent of God because look at all the difficulties he's going through. Yeah. Look at how he looks. There's no way God used somebody that ugly. Look at how he speaks. There's no way God would use someone so inarticulate, someone so rough of speech. They said, look at all the difficulties that he's gone through. This man's about died several times. He suffered shipwreck. This man, his body is just, just look at him and you can see how much he suffered. And they said, look at him. There's no way that God is using this man. God is judging this man. But no, Paul rightly acknowledges, again by the inspiration of God, about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the midst of all that he went through, what did he call our Lord? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in his opening remarks, about verse 2, he says, "Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." He says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice here, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. He says this, "who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." That's the God we serve. I tell you what, this idea that God is just this heavy-handed, dictatorial character, it does not square with Scripture. And I'm going to tell you, there's many of God's little children that have been turned off by that false notion that God is just waiting to get you. God is just waiting to strike you down. God is just waiting for you to stumble, to drive you into the dirt. No, Paul says here, my trials are real. My tribulations, they are real. I have indeed suffered. But my suffering didn't come from God. My suffering's because of the result of living in a sin-cursed earth. But he said that the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies, the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed one, is the one that's comforted me in all tribulations. I tell you what, that's the God that I hunger and thirst for. That's the God that David, the psalmist David, hungered and thirsted for. When physical trials come, I'm thankful that I am in the arms of the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies. When I mess up, which happens more regularly than I want to, probably happens more than I realize, I'm thankful that I am in the arms of the God of all comfort. That's the one that we're to run to. That's the one that we're to hunger and thirst for, because that's the God that we serve. And when we have that attitude, we can be of comfort and encouragement to others because of the grace He's given us. May the Lord add His blessings, my prayer.
Amen. Amen. How thankful we are. I can rest assured today as a pastor that if you came here thirsty, you were filled. If you were hungry, you were fed. And I want to point out something. You know, we hear, you don't see anything on our walls. It's a very simple sanctuary on purpose. We don't do anything additionally to create an environment of worship. We are completely dependent upon the Spirit of God to direct us, to manifest His indwelling. We are dependent upon Him. You know, and the great news is we're not doing without. Our service this morning was completely led of the Spirit of God. I had not visited with Brother Mark in advance. As my opening remarks began with Psalm 42, I had no idea that's what was on his mind and that's what he was studying. We didn't carefully arrange that. And he didn't orchestrate his message from Psalm 42 with Brother Michael's message from Psalm 42. God really will supply our need if we'll step aside. And glory in him. How thankful we should be in a very special way this morning at McClenny Church for really an unusual display of the providence of God, especially in our worship service, the way God has ordered things this morning. The kind, loving, caring God. Turn to hymn number 416. I guess there is not hardly a person in the United States of America that does not know or this tune or this hymn. We don't sing it often anymore, but boy, it's been the theme of our service this morning. Thank God we have a friend above all other friends who sticketh closer than a brother. And if you want to come to the House of Consol, if you want to be a part of the House of Comfort, this is the spring, I mean the fountain of it in this world, the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. There is great consolation in joining your life to our lives as we go forward together as a family in this world under the reign of our loving Lord and Savior, the best friend we'll ever have, the Lord Jesus Christ. You come